Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And the show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's emp180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Yup.
Jason Bishop.
Yo.
Eric Bickle. That is the foursome, as always. If you want to get in touch with us on the Hadid Carpet Clean List of Lines, you can call us at 800-636-1067. Spent the bulk of the morning talking about the Caps, who are back in their series, down 2-1. We did spend a few minutes talking about the Wizards, but kind of wanted to dive deeper on the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of reasons. They're down 2-0, so we can talk about this series. They haven't been able to defend the threes. Just heard Pete Medhurst talking about that. I mean, in the first half, Toronto was 11 for 22 from beyond the arc. Now, they're a very good three-point shooting team, but that's a joke.
Correct.
When the team goes 11 for 22, they score 44 points in a quarter and 76 and a half. I mean, they were on pace for almost 160 points.
Some of those were contested, but most of them weren't.
Bradley Beal had another bad game. He's had some struggles down the stretch of games. He ends up with 9, first time, I think, in the playoffs in a huge streak of games that he doesn't go for double figures. What do you think is wrong with this Wizards team? And then if you go bigger picture, what can they do in the future? To me, they're a team that's stuck. This is why I wouldn't have re-signed Otto Porter. I was always against re-signing Otto Porter. It's like, this is what you have. You're going to have John Wall, Bradley Beal. Otto's got to be your third guy.
That's your core.
Well, you got Keefe. I think in the immediate, what they can try to do is just go small, because it's not working with Marcin Gortat out there. He looks like a done player.
He's limping towards the end of his Wizards.
He doesn't match up.
He won't be there next
year.
There's
no reason for him to be to start.
As soon as he's eligible to be dealt away as an expiring contract,
well, it'll be at the deadline next year.
Yeah.
Now, the rotation's going to be weird, but I just start Mike Scott. Just go with the small lineup. Start Mike Scott. You have probably a better chance to defend.
He's not going to do that. He hasn't done it all year. He's not going to change.
I understand that.
If you want to switch things up,
I like what you're saying. You're changing things
up. So in the media, what do you do?
Because it will look like a panic move.
And then, what's your perspective on the Wizards beyond this year, like in the future? To me, they're a stuck
team. Prospects are bleak.
No, they are stuck. They're kind of locked in. But I knew it at the time. I knew they'd be stuck, but I still lobbied for re-signing Otto because you hope he'll continue to develop and you have legit three stars. The argument I would say is that he's kind of plateaued a little bit in that developing into that legit max player third star. I don't think you could just give up on 6'9 guys that shoot 50% from threes. You know, with the potential, really, to be a
probably
key third guy.
Probably can't give up on him, but he's just not going to. He's probably not going to give you much more than he already gives you.
Well,
right.
There's not much
more ceiling.
I mean, if he gets hot, if he has a really good game, he'll give you 23. But most of the time, he's going to give you 10 to 14.
But JP's exactly right. They're in a tough spot.
They're
locked in.
You're right.
They're locked in. You know, maybe you can get some guys that
want one more year left. So expiring contract. Maybe you can.
You need
some stuff on the edges, on the periphery of
the
team.
You need guys to come in
core.
And that want to, like, take pay cuts to play here. Like, you know, that's what LeBron does. He gets guys to take pay cuts. Now, they're usually at the end of the run,
well,
but he gets guys to take pay cuts, key pieces.
And you also have to hit on a draft pick.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you have to hit on your draft picks and
you have to hit
free
on
agent signings.
But
like you said, they're stuck because it's not like they have a ton of money to spend when you have so many big contracts. They
now,
get
what's
huge
the
contracts.
Percent likelihood that they could come back to win the series? I give it a 5% chance. Last year, as I mentioned earlier, they were down 2-0 to the Celtics in round two of the playoffs. Mm. Now, they lost that series, but they did push to a game seven.
So they got to win 4 out of 5?
I would say
0.
0.5% chance.
I would say 0.
Okay, but you probably give the Caps greater chance than that. They were down in the same position.
I give them about a 1%.
Yeah, the Caps often.
They showed signs of life in both of the first two games.
I think the Wizards showed signs of life.
They lost nail-biter squeakers.
The Wizards in game one were right there 3.5 quarters in. And then Mike Scott had a flagrant foul, and the game went south thereafter.
They unraveled in game one,
night,
and they got boat raced in game two.
Last night, if you just flipped over from the Caps, With 8 minutes left, it's a 5-point game.
All right, but
for
never
a fleeting
had the
second, it was a 5-point game.
They dug up a huge hole.
They've given up 244 points in two games.
I get it.
It's hard to bet on that team.
Did they have a lead in the game? Maybe 4-0, 4-2? I don't know.
Yeah, they cut it to 5. Early. I got excited when they cut it to 5!
It may made it more interesting.
They
but
cut
you
it
knew,
to 10 to start
but you
the
knew
fourth
they
quarter.
Couldn't stop Toronto on the other end.
I didn't. I've seen games. I didn't know that.
Yeah, NBA
I've
games
seen
flip
games
like
where
that.
They flip flop all the time where 20 point leads, certainly for
right,
the Wizards, a 20 point lead is meaningless. For the Wizards.
So you think it's over. 0% chance, Cakes? 0%?
0.5%.
Well, I gave them a very, very low percent to start it because they're the 8 seed, and I'm just looking at it objectively.
Now, this is what they'll do. I believe they'll do this just like the Caps will do this. They'll make it interesting.
They'll win game 3.
I'm
maybe,
not sure. I don't think they're good enough to make it interesting.
Maybe
this will be a quick
4.
Series. I think they're going to lose in 5.
All right. I think they'll make it more interesting than that.
I think they'll lose
but
in 5.
So you could
over,
actually see them
over 5
evening
games?
The series 2-2.
I can
but
see
then it'll go back to Toronto. Raptors take care of business, and then either win 6
or
7.
Or they can lose game, 4, and they'll be down 3-1. Then they go back to Toronto, somehow get a win. I mean, I just think that they'll make an interesting. I don't think they'll lose in 4 or 5.
They're not good enough defensively.
They're terrible defensively, yes.
That Ty Lawson was playing in China a week ago.
Right.
Never played with the Wizards. And game 2 of their playoff series is getting significant
What does that
run.
Tell you? What does that tell you? They're grasping. They're trying anything.
Well, I wanted him to play in game 1 because I know what Ramon Sessions can do and I know what Tim Frazier can do. It's unimpressive.
Yeah, those guys are limited.
Right. Well, that's why you need your superstars like Bradley Beal, who's an all-star. I mean, not a superstar, but he's an all-star.
He's pretty good.
To play like
carried away. He's pretty good.
Okay. Well, he was an all-star, but you need to play better than 3-for-11.
You can't win a road game against a 1 seed when 2 of your starters are in double figures and the second one is barely in double figures. And that's what happened last night.
Well, they were just bad from start to finish.
Do you think with Beal, it is part of his... I think it tends to be fluky, but do you think with Beal, it's part of his DNA that he's just not a good closer?
I don't think it's that. I think it's more the fact that he's logging
you
heavy...
Think he's tired.
He's logging heavy, huge minutes, especially when John was out for the extended stretch.
By the way...
It takes a toll on
you. Do
you
know who's giving up the most points in the NBA in the playoffs?
Well, probably the Wizards.
The Wizards, yeah. The 16.
You mean combined points?
They give up 76
games,
and a
games
half.
Per game, yeah. Per points per game. It's only been 2 games.
So it's 120?
122.
Yeah.
They're worse than the NBA by 6 points.
They gave up 44 and a quarter.
I mean, no one's even really close.
Hey, well, I mean, that's what happens when you allow
I mean, so you're going to bet on that
52%.
Team winning 4 out of 5?
And by the way, did they get a rebound last night? I don't even know if Washington got 1 rebound.
Do you want me to tell you where they rank in rebounds? I'll look that up.
Well, too. They didn't rank very good last night.
What are Gortat's numbers in this series? And it's 2 games.
He played 12 minutes last night.
He's got 9. I believe he has 9 total points in 2 games.
He's a waste.
I could be wrong on that, but I think it's
close. He's a likable guy, but right now he is a waste.
That's why I would say, and I really enjoy having Scottie Brooks on, but you just have to call it like you see it sometimes. He does not make enough
something like that.
Adjustments when guys like have horrible games, horrible effort, or he just doesn't make enough adjustments. He doesn't change things. He always says, I'm going to change things. We're going to see differences in minutes based on what I saw last night. And you never really see anything significant. You see some trivial bench rotation changes, nothing in your core.
No.
Ever.
Right. He threatened it this year several times.
He threatens all the time, but he doesn't come through and truly challenge the veterans on the team, in my opinion. I'm sure he does in the room, but the proof is in the pudding when you actually do it come game time.
But I do think the story can change if they win game 3.
But the key isn't
like
Gortat.
The Caps.
The key isn't Gortat.
No. I bet John Wall sometimes.
Right. Okay. That's fine. But I'm saying when we're talking about Gortat.
And he's their best player by far.
I mean... The key is having your second superstar play better than he did. And Otto Porter just is missing in action for most of the game.
He's way
too comfortable
being passive.
There wasn't one good player last night.
Yep.
If Beal doesn't score 20+, they don't have a prayer.
But here's the thing. And this is why you can't flip a switch. Because what's happening now is what they did all regular season. You can't just miraculously care about defense, care about each possession. You know what I mean? Assert yourself and find open. You just miraculously do it. You are what you practice. You are what you know what I mean? What you put into it. And this whole notion that,
agree.
They'll just flip a switch and do that in the playoffs.
Yeah, Yeah, but but you do kind of expect Bradley Beal to perform like an all-star. Not a superstar, but like an all-star.
He's pretty good.
And if he performs like that, maybe you win the game. Because John's getting whatever he wants. He's correct. When he said, I can get whatever I want against the Raptors, he's correct.
Well, he's also
getting
to the line.
He got aggressive in the second half.
He gets
22
fouled.
Points in the second half. You know, I don't love his three-point shooting percentage, and I don't love the way he plays defense, but he can do whatever he wants offensively against
True.
The Raptors.
All right, well,
defense.
Now you're talking about just kind of outscoring Toronto, and I don't think they can.
Maybe right. not.
So here's at what, some point,
see,
they're going to have
to play
defense.
John needs to do more than score 29. Believe it or not, he has to do more than score 29, have 10 dimes, and, you know, six steals. He actually has to do right. more.
Like, I agree.
There's a whole other half of the game that he ignores.
Right.
He
and
has
you know
to
what?
Play better man.
All you
got to
do
defense.
Is look at the plus minus. When you see a minus 15 next to Wall and you see a minus 34 next to Beal.
Yeah.
All right. I don't care what they were doing offensively. They weren't
right.
stopping anybody.
Right. Because they play one way.
That's why they're not going to win.
Right.
Exactly.
That's why they're not going to win.
Let's
Foolish.
Go to what Greg Anthony said after the game. He actually gives the Wizards a shot.
I do think they have a very good chance to win game three. And if they win that, that means you can win game four
sure.
and make this interesting. I think also I'm trying to take a page out of Toronto's book in terms of how they play offensively. I just think as dynamic as John Wall is, and you don't want to ever take away his strengths, I think they've got to figure out a way to get a little bit more ball movement. Because even with a great player, when you're really ball dominant, you allow defenses to load. And they don't do as great a job of reading off him. Like, their spacing in relation to where the basketball is on the floor is not very good. And it creates a lot of bad passing angles and tough shots. They've got to do a better job of shoring that up, I think. And they tend to play better at home, so we'll see if they respond in game three.
I think they will respond in game three.
Well, they'll score points. But...
I mean, I agree with Greg. I think they have a very good chance of winning game three, but I don't agree that...
Not going to win four
out of
five.
I don't think they're going to win the series.
They're not going to win four out of
five. I think they're going to salvage a split at home, and they're going to lose in five.
I picked the Wizards right. to win the series in six. Now I was holding my nose. I did that on TV, holding my nose.
I don't know why you would pick them to
my
win.
My confidence is definitely shaken, but we'll see. They could win game three and then get back in the series. Let's go to Jason and Olney wants to chime in.
Jason, what's up?
Hey, I'm a lifelong Wizards fan. I'm going to the game on Friday, even though I kind of don't want to at this point. I'm a little distraught. But, you know, look, there's two things going on here, in my opinion. One is fourth quarter play all year has been bad. Particularly from Bradley Beal, he's in my opinion, he's got the yips in the fourth quarter. He just turns into a totally different player. He misses layups in the fourth quarter, and so fourth quarter play is bad. And if you look at the last two games, that really bit us both times. We tied the game in the fourth quarter in game one, and then Toronto turned it on, and then we came within five after being down 23 last night, and Toronto just turned it on. There was nothing we can do. So that's one. But the other thing I was going to say is, what are we going to do for the future? This is who we are. Okay, one of the people I work with, he knows I'm a Wizards fan. He loves to come in and rip me. And he's like, oh, Grunfeld's got to go. He's got to get better players. Who are these better players that you think are coming here? We couldn't even get a meeting with Kevin Durant. Horford snubbed us and went to Boston. This is who we are. Our big three are guys that we drafted and then tied down with money to stay here. Big name players aren't coming here. This is
I
who
would
we
generally
are, and
agree
we've
with
got
that.
To make the best of it.
No. I'd agree with that, but that's your only hope is all I'm saying. I'm not saying they will.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's
and,
your
and
only
the
hope.
Counter is you don't have to get the big name players.
No, it's
and
about,
Jason, look at Toronto.
It's about the role players.
Look
now.
At the Raptors, okay? Yeah. The Raptors were similar to the Wizards, making the playoffs every year. Two stars like the Wizards have with Wall and Beal. They've got Lowry and DeRozan, and they were getting bounced out of the playoffs year after year. And this year they made a big jump. Why? Because guys they drafted, like Siakam, what's the guy, AJ, I can't even pronounce
OG
his last.
Anunoby.
The
guys like that who all of a sudden have helped lift that team to greater heights, or Pirtle, or Hurdle,
well,
whatever
also,
his name
they
is.
They also went out and got CJ Miles.
Right.
Or they got him from
what,
Indiana, maybe?
Yep.
And then
I believe they drafted him.
What?
Hopefully Grunfeld learned his lesson, because the word is he's been protecting his draft picks this year, and he's really trying to build up the bench, because we've also got problems that a lot of these guys are going to be going, and we're not going to get guys coming here. So the word is he's been protecting draft picks this year. He's probably going to trade Gortat.
for another draft pick. But as any lifelong Wizard fan knows, he's going to go out and draft terrible players. So, you know, this is our lot in life, that lovable losers, at least they're competing. I love them. I still love them. I cheer for them every game. But this is who we are.
Thanks, Jason.
I think you're right.
The Wizards are kind of stuck in limbo they're going to get eliminated by the Raptors, and then they're going to pick, what, 19th or 20th, somewhere around there, in the NBA draft in the first round. You're not going to get an impactful player in that range.
Well, it might not.
You wouldn't think.
No,
it's
got to
be someone.
You can eventually.
That player at 19 has to be someone. If you're drafting him at 19, it's got to be someone who produces.
We can make shrewd moves like the Raptors.
At least off the bench.
Why did the Raptors make this leap? The Raptors, I don't have the standings in front of me. They were like the Wizards last year, right? It's not like they were a 1 seed, a 2 seed. They've been roughly a 50-win team, and this year they made a big jump.
Well, because they added some players, added some pieces, and they just got better.
With the Wizards' draft philosophy is they often you got to swing and miss. At least they don't even swing.
Yeah,
they sell picks.
They'll trade picks. They'll take cash for second rounders.
I think those picks are gold. Second round picks are gold. I mean, you swing and miss on it.
They took cash for. They took cash for a pick that I believe the Lakers turned into Jordan Clarkson.
Right.
Turned into a pretty good player.
You can definitely find players. Not always, but it's worth a swing and miss. Instead of selling the dumb player, the pick.
All right, phone number's 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Wizards now down 2 games to Zippy to the Toronto Raptors in the first round of the NBA playoff series.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're talking about the Wizards, who lost last night to the Raptors, 130-119. They gave up 44 points in the first quarter, 76 at the half. Toronto cooled off.
Hope you played the over.
Ended up winning the game, 130-119. The Wizards actually cut the lead to 5 at one point, but just too much of a hole. And we're wondering what your take is on this series. Do you give them any chance now that they return home? They play Friday night, game 3. And how do you see them going forward? Let's go back to the phones, 800-636-1067, if you want to chime in on the Hadid carpet cleaning Lister lines.
It's exhausting talking about the Wizards.
It is.
Let's go to Daryl in D.C. Daryl, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Daryl?
It goes back to the tweet that Kobe Bryant put out there to John Wall. You said first-team defense. What happened? John Wall put say no more. We can try to play the 40 games.
I didn't see that. That's great.
Wall says, Google it. He says, say no more.
Right.
Your leader has to instill defense across the board.
Right.
No team will ever win if you don't play defense. They don't care. Half of them are still playing out there, still playing like they're going for a contract. They don't share the ball.
Right.
You can look at the Golden State Warriors. We can, you know, I mean, when everybody was, you know, glamored over how Steph Curry. I remember a couple of times that he was crossing up Chris Paul, making him fall over the place. But Chris Paul's still out there playing D. Even with, I think it was a time with Kyrie Irving, he tore Steph up, gave him 100 different moves, and he's still in his face trying to play D. Who cares about getting crossed? It's like the Wizards are scared of getting burst. Like, I don't want to be the guy on sports. I don't want to be the guy on whatever show you want to call it, a highlight film. Mm-hmm. Who cares, man? You're getting your money. You're getting paid $200 million. If you care about getting crossed up or getting dunked on, then there's a problem. You need to change the leadership of the team. Or get some enforcers out there. Your best defenders are on the bench. Jason Smith can't get 1 minute, and he's a good defender. And I like what Ty Lawson did, but Ty Lawson came here in 72 hours. He's playing.
I love Smith.
He's not the answer.
No, but I love what you're saying, and it's always bothered me, and I've never articulated it as well as you just did, that We live in a culture now where if a guy dunks on you, it's humiliating. So what has that created? It's created a situation where a guy's going hard to the basket and guys are ducking out of the way. It's awful.
Wall let DeMar DeRozan in the, I think right before halftime, he let Rosen run right past him.
Right.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
We can't wait.
Come on.
We can't wait to put on social media the Vine or the tweet or the meme of a guy getting dunked on or, you know, a guy making a great play.
By the way, DeRozan did that multiple times.
That's the reason he had 37.
Yeah.
Bill. It didn't matter. Oubre, it didn't matter. And these guys would not even commit the foul on these guys. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, a hard foul is a hard foul regardless, as long as you're trying to make a play on the ball. But you got to have an enforcer out there. And maybe they should have got DeAndre Jordan. Trey, Otto, Bill, one of them. You need an enforcer on a team that jumps in their face when they're half the time that we're getting broken down interior-wise as far as defense is because the first man is getting dominated. He's not even trying. So that all obviously causes the big man to collapse on him where he leaves his man open.
Daryl,
you have to get better at the three-point line on defense.
Daryl, how about last night when Ibaka went, he drove the lane and dunked on, you know, he dunked the ball, and Mahimi, all Mahimi did was just push him with two hands, got called
right.
for the...
And he's supposed to be your premium rim protector.
I mean, all he did was push him.
He's supposed to be
your guy. Did he think that was going to stop
if Mahimi,
Ibaka?
If Mahimi is on the roster for one thing, it's to grab boards and to play some top defense.
I mean, you got to stop Ibaka there.
If he can't do
that's
that...
One thing you, it's
Ibaka.
One, you got to foul
Ibaka
him.
Ibaka is much more... He's mainly athletic because he really doesn't have any moves. He just is a hustle guy. He plays great defense and he hustles and he can hit an open shot. That's all he do. He's not even the guy that really have a skill set.
Right.
And he's getting you 27 and 25 points. Are we kidding here?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, going to your original point, to me, it does start with John Wall. Remember how good of a defender Gary Payton was? Remember how good of a defender Gary Payton was? Well, John Wall could be that type of defender. He has that athleticism, but he doesn't commit. He's great at blocking shots. He's great at doing that. But
you have to care about winning as much as you care about getting a girl in a club, man.
Right.
You got to care about winning, man.
Let me just tell you something. Daryl's the greatest caller we've had in months. I'm going to give him a prize. All right? I'm giving him an ODU golf shirt.
Do you like ODU Monarchs?
I'm giving him an ODU basketball golf shirt.
We can hook him up with Nats tickets.
You want to do that too?
Sure.
And give him one of these golf shirts.
That's great because I can walk to the game. My firehouse might be on Ashley.
Stay on the line.
Best call we've had.
We're going to hook you up with a pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the Arizona Diamondbacks April 27th at Nats Park. Tickets on sale now through the Nats Stadium box office, but of course you can win your way in right here on the Junkies. Get more details at thefandc.com/contests.
Well, Daryl had a great point because if you think about it,
so many great points.
What was the highlight of the NBA season, the regular season? It was the James Harden crossover where the guy fell down,
right,
and he made the three pointer, and they
showed
him
for him to get up. That was funny. That was funny. I get it.
I think it was Wesley Johnson. He just
it was Wes Johnson.
Yeah, it was funny the first two times they showed it, except that they kept doing it over and over again.
And I don't blame the players in some sense because you're terrified of being humiliated, right? So, oh no, here comes LeBron. Let me get out the way instead of actually trying to make a play.
Right.
Let's just try to make a play. Everyone's so scared of getting so-called posterized. And that's not even a thing anymore because now you're on social media immediately mocked by millions.
You become a GIF.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem. Well, it's a big problem. The defense that they play is laughable.
Well, either that or you were never really a good defensive player.
It's both.
And you're not going to learn it at the NBA level.
But listen, let me tell you something. John Wall's feet are as good as anybody in the game, right? He's got unbelievable
feet. Probably better.
There is literally no reason.
So that's a desire thing. That's
there is
thing.
No reason for John Wall not to get in front of his guy and stay with him all the way. I saw him at half court, wave behind him for a cheap cherry pick that an old man would do in Jason's pickup league.
I don't remember. I mean,
it was unbelievable, and he quit on the play at half court.
He did. I don't remember him being a great defensive player in Kentucky either.
Right. It's
well, I mean, he was only
I'm
there
sure
for
he wasn't.
18 seconds.
I'm sure
not
he wasn't.
Great laterally.
What everyone jocks is when he gets beat and then he blocks a shot from behind.
Yeah.
You know, he might let him beat him so he can block
it's gotta
him.
It's got to be so frustrating for Scottie Brooks to watch
this
team.
That's why he looks miserable.
Night in, night out.
Scottie Brooks has he been here 2 years? It's been such a disaster, you can't even remember. He's made $14 million here, and he looks like he's digging ditches. He looks miserable.
All right, let's go to calls.
Let's go to, Let's go to Wasim. I want to pronounce it correctly. Wasim.
Yeah, you got that right. This is Wasim. So I agree with the caller before. The players definitely have to take responsibility for defense. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about the coaching staff. I know if you saw the games, the first two games, constantly off the pick and roll, the ball handler comes on and we're constantly doubling him. And then the scramble begins on defense and we just can't scramble quick enough. I don't know if it's a lack of athleticism or a lack of desire, but we're constantly doubling off the pick and roll, and they're constantly, the roll man is going into the paint and getting layups possession after possession. And on the other hand, Scott Brooks is supposed to be an offensive guru. And a lot of possessions, the only good looks we're getting is if Gortat sets a screen and Beal comes off and hits a mid-range jump shot. Like, those are the only clean shots we're getting. So I feel, yes, I mean, a lot of the blame does go on the personnel and how their level of effort intensity, but the defensive schemes are just not working out for us. Why don't we try and switch a little bit more like Toronto does? They're constantly switching off the pick and rolls, and they're constantly hustling back to get back to their men whenever they can.
Well, see,
do anything like that.
They try. I noticed this in particular with Gortat, and I didn't get a lot of minutes. He's slow on the switching. So he'll show on that pick and roll and flash up high, but he doesn't get back quick enough.
No, you're right.
Of course he's slow. Isn't he 33 or 34 years old? He's slow and old.
Right. So the Raptors put him in mismatches.
Right. That's what
if these guys have any heart at all, we will see a different Wizards team on, when are they playing, Friday?
Yeah.
On Friday in Game 3.
I would expect them to bounce back.
They're not interested.
Oh, he'll score more points, what is that?
They got to play better on the other end.
They had plenty of points to win.
And first of all, they got out-rebounded by 15.
How many points did we score?
119.
That should win. It wasn't a points problem.
I know, but that's just a product of the pace, trying to keep up.
It's garbage time points.
I don't look at the total points.
It's still enough to win. No one else has given up 122. The most points any other team has given up in the playoffs is 116.
Well, it's enough to win if you're not chasing.
Let's go to Ronnie. I was going to say Ronnie and frustrated. That's what it says.
Yeah, I am frustrated, totally frustrated. I'm a season ticket holder, and I got to use a phrase that my freshman football coach coined up at Archbishop Carroll when I played. His son wanted to come see us play, but he wouldn't let him come play because we were stinking up the whole joint. And that's exactly what all the Wizards are doing, and I'm sick and tired of them. These guys collect a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks, and they don't put forth the effort to deserve the paycheck. They should all be fired and in the unemployment line.
Right.
More talk to the bum.
Problem is, they got guaranteed contracts.
I'm so sick of the guaranteed contract, and they feel as though they can sit around and do that. That's terrible. They should stop wasting people's money.
Right.
Well, another problem is, Ronnie, they're paying.
You need to get rid of those season tickets.
Mahimi and Gortat a combined $28 million. Okay, think about that number going against your cap and the production you're getting on the other side of it.
I think you knew that when you acquired Gortat.
Sure.
You knew in the back end of that.
And when you overpaid Mahimi, when you lose out on Kevin Durant.
No one understood that, really.
I still don't understand it.
I understand it because there's a minimum cap.
There's a floor. Yeah, you had to spend
a certain amount of money. So they had to give it. Right. They gave it away.
Yeah, he missed the whole year.
Said, nobody else wants to come here and take this money. Jan Mahimi's available. Here's a big sack of money.
It was just ugly. It's embarrassing. That's what it was. It was embarrassing.
It's an embarrassing
performance. It's been embarrassing. That's why I kind of watch it, like, angry. Chris, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey,
what's up, Chris? Doing
okay.
What's up, Christopher?
At least the Caps won. At least the Caps gave us a little glimmer.
And the Nats
a glimmer
won.
Of something. And the Nats.
Yep.
I got to give the Nats credit. They won the last two, and it was getting real close to looking bleak time. You know, even though it's
well, right. Well, two nights ago was huge.
That's what I mean.
So what do you think about the Wizards, Chris?
So I think the only problem we're running into now, and it always gets exposed in the playoffs, is we're over-evaluating players. We have one great player. We have one good player, and the rest are okay. Now, we need to back that great player with some good players that can play both ways, play defense, cover their man, and actually help out when someone gets...
But it starts with John. It starts with the best player on the team, the All-NBA player. It starts with him.
He's got to be...
I think before the season, I think he said he wanted to be... First
they say all the right
NBA
things. You know who says all the right things every time after a game? Bradley Beal. He always says all the right things, and nothing changes.
There was a clip.
Yep. Well, nothing ever changes.
There was a clip yesterday where Gortat and Wall are getting into it.
I don't know
at the time of the game. And Bradley Beal, though, he just had a towel covering his head because he just couldn't take it because the guys were bickering.
It's the Wizard season in an 8-second gif or gif.
Well, that'll be the Wizard season next year too. It just will.
Gortat. Yeah.
Here's something
Wall
that won't change. Here's something that won't change. John Wall's play will not change. He'll always be a fantastic offensive player, and he'll break people down. Yeah. And he'll be unbelievable in transition. Yeah. He'll be a subpar
and wave at him on defense.
And he'll be a bad defensive player.
Yeah.
Now he'll get his block shots and some steals, but on the ball defense, he'll always be the same. What, is he going to turn into Joe Dumars next year?
Probably not.
I mean, come on.
No.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, and they don't even put him on.
This
like,
is our lot in life as Wizards
fans.
They
put like Oubre on Lowry.
Don't you feel kind of silly picking the Wizards? Like, honestly, don't you feel kind of silly picking them?
I told you, I held my nose. I picked them in six.
Yeah, but you were very confident.
You were pretty confident. You were like,
I did, because, look.
You said it was a good matchup.
Just say I feel silly now.
Y'all said better chance the Wizards win than the Caps won last night.
That being said, I think they're going to make it interesting.
Cakes, I want money off you. So don't talk that much.
I think they're losing.
If you really want $3 to that battle, I'll give you $3.
No, losing five. They're playing a superior team.
They are playing a superior team. Yeah. But they can beat superior teams at home.
Once in a while.
Well, they need two.
They can't do it routinely.
They need two.
All right. When we come back, we'll get back into the Caps, because we haven't talked about the Caps for the last hour. I want to hear from people in terms of what they think the likelihood now is that the Caps win this series.
Mm.
Kicks yesterday
thought they were getting
bet
swept.
On them being swept. Well, now, they went double overtime last night.
That was seriously in his darkest place.
A really dark spot.
Yeah.
So what do you think the likelihood is that they win this series and advance to the second round? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on the Caps next here on The Fan.
Smith-Pelly on the feed. Connolly fires. Rebound, doorstep. It's in! The Washington Capitals have hope swinging back in their favor. A double OT decision.
And the Capitals do have hope now, getting that double overtime win last night on the Lars Eller ugly goal. Doesn't matter how it goes in, Cakes.
I don't care. I couldn't care less how it goes in. As long as it's legal and doesn't get taken off the board, the Caps can score any which way. I'm happy with it. Happy to get the win. I'm usually terrorized with overtime results. Last night, it finally went the Caps' way, and they're back in the series, trailing 2-1.
Back in the series, yes. Everybody would say they're back in the series. Do you think they're likely to win the series?
I will never pick the Capitals to win a series. I can't do that.
He's just being
weird.
I'm
just putting myself in a weird spot. I mean, this series couldn't be any more even. I don't see how you could pick one team over another. Three overtime games, including a double OT affair last night. I mean, I said before it started, I think it's going to go 6 or 7. I can't move off of that stance.
They gave
I don't know
us
why
life.
I would.
They gave us life last night, so let's see if they can do it again on Thursday.
If
it's 2-2. It's really interesting.
I think when you lose at first two at home, it's
that hurts
almost,
but
irrecoverable, if that's a word.
True, but if you take the next two on the road, then you're back to even. You're back to square.
Yeah, but it's still, you still have put yourself in that position, right?
Yeah,
that you have to win 4 out of 5 or whatever it is. Uh-huh. It's just too hard.
But they did make a big change, and that is putting Braden Holtby in the net. Braden Holtby has 33 saves and clearly was better than Grubauer. So that maybe changes the context of the series.
Well, I think any one of us could have made. I mean, I like Barry Trotz. I know a lot of people goof on him as a tactician from time to time. But Awad could have made that change after watching Gruby in the first two games.
Understood. I'm not even talking about the coaching assistant. I'm just saying the reality is you have a different goalie starting for you.
Gives
and this goalie
life.
Has played well
right.
in one game and a period and an overtime, whatever it is.
And he has an extensive playoff history of performing well in the postseason.
They definitely
which
have
you
a,
have to be encouraged by.
They have a better chance now than they did, say, in game 1 and 2. Turns out, because this we got a legit goalie playing.
Yeah.
I mean, Grubby, for whatever reason, didn't play like he did in the regular season.
Correct.
I mean, I don't know how you could predict that. I don't know how you could predict that Holtby, who played poorly, generally speaking, to his standard, would then be able to turn it on. But he has.
I was the reset button.
How do you predict those
things? Coach Trotz said he was going to hit the reset button.
Yeah. Well, it obviously didn't reset it good enough because he didn't start him.
Correct. Not in the regular season.
I mean,
he had a miserable. This is just 1 month, but he had a miserable February. Braden Holtby in February was 2-5-2, giving up 4.62 goals per game, and his save percentage was at 87%.
Does anybody disagree with this? This is common sense, right? There's a 100% chance that, like, say, a month leading into the playoffs, Trotz wanted to go with Holtby. He wanted to go with his veteran, experienced guy, the guy that's won the Vezina Trophy before. He did everything in his power to give him that job, give him a reset,
and
give him a break, and he didn't earn it.
You're right.
So he, in my opinion, he made the right call and went with Grubby, even though it didn't work out.
It backfired.
It just didn't work out.
My point is, they do have a different goalie, so it changes kind of the context of the series. I still think it's an uphill battle because you've got to win four out of five. So I would say,
what if Holtby gets really hot now? What if he starts to get really hot?
For some reason, I thought he played.
They could ride him. They could ride him for 10 games.
Whereas I give the Wizards a 5% chance to come back and win that series, and they're in the equal hole that the Caps were in.
Holtby played well, but I'm terrified by so many odd man rushes in last night's game.
I give
Columbus's speed compared to the Caps. And what did we talk about during the Pens series last year when they fell?
Speed.
The Pens are faster. We have to upgrade our speed. Maybe there have been upgrades, but are they equivalent to what the sort of speed that Columbus is throwing at us?
Panarin looks twice as fast as anybody on the ice.
Verana has to play major minutes.
I mean, he played 22 minutes last
night. Even though he's young, he's going to make mistakes. He's got
to
play.
You have to have him out there.
I would give the Caps about a 33% chance to come back and win this series.
33?
Yeah.
That's way high? Beyond this. Yes, because when you go down 0-2.
Because I'm with Cakes.
But look at it.
I understand.
You're looking at it emotionally. Look at it statistically.
Okay, 2 out of 7 times.
That's a
the Caps
small
have
sample
come
size.
Back
look
down
at the lead.
2-0.
Forget about the Caps.
Okay,
look
it's still right around 20%. So I'm higher than that 20%.
I don't think it is.
But when you're down 2-0, it's about 20%.
You can look at it in two different ways. You can look at it from
at home.
You can look at it from the start of the series, right? Or you can look at it after game two.
Right.
I just don't think you can throw out those games like it didn't happen.
No, I understand that, but you can the positive people say, all right, well now it's 2-1.
Right. They're just using numbers to their advantage.
Right, of course.
But I think when you look at it collectively, when you lose the first, it's just a devastating hole that 80% of the time, let's just go with that number.
33% is not wildly optimistic. It means I believe Columbus is going to win the series. Because the way I look at it is the Caps have to win 4 out of 5. Now they've won 1. So now they got to win 3 out of 4 against a team they're even with.
Right. So how are they
to
gonna
me, they're basically even with this team.
I think they're a little bit better.
You think
they're
Columbus faster. Is slightly better?
Yeah, I think they're a little faster. That Panarin, got Panini guy is unbelievable. I
mean, we lost to Toronto, or we beat Toronto last year, and they were faster.
Yes, that's true. But we by the skin of our balls. Like,
well, if it happens, that's what it's going
to
be.
These games are close. Let's go to the phones. 800-636.
You just like saying that word.
1067. We got Mike Rizzo joining us
punchy from
in
being
10
exhausted.
Minutes.
Well, you should be. I mean, when games end at 11:30, you can't go right to sleep. You're definitely going to be keyed up after the Caps win.
At least I don't have to drive to Frederick to go see my dentist again today.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you don't.
God, do you have him on retainer?
Yes. I should, man.
Nice zing, retainer.
Yeah. good tooth-related zing, JP.
All right, let's go. Let me see. Let's go to Sandy in Annapolis. Sandy, what's up? You're on with the Jumps.
Well, you know, he just said something about Columbus's speed. They spent themselves in the third period. If you look at the first first overtime, the Caps had them all over the ice. They had the majority the puck the majority of the time in the first overtime.
Yeah. Well, how are you feeling now after they won? Do you feel pretty good about game?
I feel optimistic about them.
You do?
Because they're the Caps. They did this, I don't know if you guys are young, in 2009 with the Rangers.
Tell my shoulder I'm young.
It's nice that they came back against the Rangers, but I care about as much about that as I do about the Wizards sweeping the Raptors.
Right, I agree.
14-15.
I've got a lot of opinions about it. You know, first of all, Ovi is the highest paid scapegoat in the country. And I don't think people don't give Ovi enough credit. If he's not scoring, they think he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfair.
He had 2 assists last night.
I also saw him come back, I saw him come back and whatever they call that, the forechecking, whatever, the back checking, whatever. You know,
yeah, and he blocks pucks all the time.
Yeah.
And people don't give him that amount of credit. But, we've got some young guys, this new Scott guy from out of college, the Michigan State guy that's played 3 games. You know, you
Shane
put
Gersich.
Our...
Shane
Gershon. Yeah. The guy just told me his name and I got it wrong.
Michigan State.
He went to North Dakota.
He went to where, Roshi went.
Wherever, but he's still in college, actually. But the thing is, you put these young guys on the ice, they've got nothing to lose, everything to prove. They get on the ice, they play the hell out of it. You know, even our older guys, they've got nothing to prove and everything to lose.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, if you're counting Ovi as one of the older guys, he has a lot left
to prove.
Well,
look, I gave Ovi a ton of credit last year when I can't remember what game it was. I can't even remember what series. Remember his knee got...
Well, there were only two series.
I don't know which one it was.
I think it was the Toronto series because it was that rat.
He went down.
His
leg was purple.
And we thought he was done for the year.
It was Kadri with a dirty shot on his knee. Big surprise, Kadri got ejected from the Boston series because he went headhunting. I think he got suspended for 3 games.
Did he?
He's a dirty player.
Even put any weight on that, and he came back and played the rest of the playoffs.
No, he's a warrior.
He's an absolute stud.
I don't know. Somehow, you know, hope he gets hot.
Maybe we
still like your optimism about Hope Beast.
No, I think they're going to lose this series. They're going to just let us down. But man, they could take this deep.
I don't think it bodes well when you play every game close because you show no ability to bury them.
Well, it's what they've been doing during the entire Barry Trotz era.
Okay, I don't know how it's Barry's fault, but
close affairs in the postseason.
Not saying it's his fault. Just statistically, they've played close games, and I think 38% of the playoff games under Barry Trotz have been in overtime.
All right, real quick, let's go to Jaime.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, guys, we're back. I went to game one, and we lost that crushing defeat. Man, I was so sad. But yesterday was a different story. When we made the overtime, hey, they were fighting for every single inch. I see a more disciplined team. I didn't see dumb penalties at the end. And Hopi is back, my friend. Our superstar goalie is back. It's going to get hot. We're going to ride it right into the end, and we're going to win this playoff series. I think 33% is fine. I agree with that. But you know, we're back, man. I saw that intensity. We were fighting for every inch of that ice. I was very proud of my team last night, man.
Right.
Very proud.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Jaime's pumped.
One thing with Jaime is he's always optimistic.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of his thing.
If you kind of know Jaime, that's his thing. All right. What are we doing when we come back? We got Rizzo?
Mike Rizzo.
All right, we'll talk about the Nats and they turned things around a little bit.
He'll never admit it.
But when they were losing game one against the Mets,
6-1,
right? And then they were staring. You know, things were trending poorly. They had won 3 out of 11, I think. Mm-hmm. Mets, you know, 12-2 at that
point.
They
were staring at 7 games back. Early.
7 if they lose the next 2, potentially if the series went awful. 9, you know, in the middle of April. That had to have crossed his mind at some point.
Sure, it crossed his mind, but you're right. He would never say this was a big series.
Never admit it. But it was big.
Yeah.
It was big.
It was.
All right. Mike Rizzo, when we come
back.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.